Punk's not dead, and neither is New Wave. Join Buzz and Ben on Static Rage, the Punk and New Wave Album Review Podcast.
Howdy, partners. Welcome back to another episode of Static Rage. I'm Ben. With me is Buzz. How you doing tonight, Buzz?
I'm doing quite well, Ben. I'm very excited to talk about tonight.
Me too. So tonight, what we are talking about is a band that we've talked about before. A little band called Ghoul Town.
For those that didn't listen to the last one, this is a horror punk band. They're sometimes referred to as Gothabilly. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I can see why it's mentioned, why some people will call them that. But they're definitely more of a horror punk band. However, there's a nice little twist to them, and the reason I say it's nice is they do something that most other horror punk bands do not do. They go away from the moniker of the 1950s rock and roll era, and they say, hey, we're from Texas, we're going to incorporate a Wild West theme. But in this version of a Wild West theme, everything is undead, and it's all evil, and it's bad, and it's like all the cool spaghetti westerns you saw growing up as a kid. Make them have zombies, skeletons, ghosts, demons, werewolves, and the devil.
Yeah.
And then we're going to take these two things and smash them together, and you're going to have a mix of punk and, I wouldn't quite call it country, but I might call it like better than modern country. So it fits somewhere in there. It's not just straight up punk, so it's kind of cool that they do this. They're kind of unique in this way. So before we kick off tonight, their name, Ghoul Town, it might sound dumb. It's a play on words of Ghost Town, and they did not want to call themselves Ghost Town because that was going to be too obvious.
Yeah.
So Ghoul Town was the next best thing.
Being a big gamer nerd, it is very evocative of the RPG from the 90s, and that there's been a recent revitalization of it called Deadlands. This is very evocative of this, especially with the artwork and the subject matter. I often hear this band referred to as cowpunk, so which is just, you know, the cross of country and punk. They're from Dallas. They incorporate a little bit of Texas metal, think Texas Hippie Coalition and Pantera, a little bit of the weirdness of psychobilly aspects of the other Texas band, another Texas band that we've covered on here, the Butthole Surfers. They incorporate elements of Spanish music. There's some mariachi stuff that is mixed in throughout. So it's just a, for lack of a better term, a salsa of their influence and what they would have been hearing on the radio. Tossed in some spaghetti western and with a nice helping of overnight radio. Think of the Art Bells of the world.
Exactly. And people know, if you don't know yet, if this is again your first time listening to us, I am a big proponent of album or cover artwork because the artwork can actually help sell an album. It can also kind of invoke certain ideas. And this band is no different. Every album they put out is a different piece of artwork, and each artwork is different in a little bit of ways. So it usually incorporates some type of skeleton, zombie, or other undead creature dressed in what you would consider a stereotypical Wild West garb, and there's something crazy going on in the background. So before I kick anything else off, let's talk about this and get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, Life After Sundown, we have the image of what appears to be a Mexican bandito. It's actually a caricature of Count Lyle, who's the singer, lighting up a cigar. And what's cool about this is the shadow play on here, because the way the colors work on the album, the brighter parts are where that's lit by the match, where this creature is lighting his cigar. And you can see the face colored, but then everything else is in this strange blue or even a black. And it's supposed to evoke the idea of meeting a stranger and talking to them. They light the cigar. It's like, oh, it's too late. You're talking to this creature, and you just realize at the last minute this is it. Also, what's cool is in the background, he appears to be coming out of some kind of cemetery or church. I personally think it's more of a cemetery to me. But it has that vision of meeting someone walking down in the middle of I hate to use Texas, but I'm going to, like, in that era, and then meeting someone in the middle of the night that you were warned not to go near. And then, oh, by the way, life after sundown, well, it's not sun. The sun has gone down and the dead have risen from their grave and they're here to party. So I'd like to get that out in the open before we start this podcast off.
Now, this is a great piece of album art. To me, it looks more like, at least he's coming out of the walls, perhaps around a cemetery with a church, because there's a what would appear to be a tower with a crucifix on it. But that's a minor disagreement. This is a great piece of art. And to kind of take on the conversation that we had last time when we were doing that Tiger Army album, I would buy the shit out of this.
Yeah, no, this is cool as fuck. I could see having like a tattoo of this on my arm somewhere.
Yeah, that's dude, cool. Totally. Says. Yeah. Or, and this transcends to other mediums. Like if I saw a book with this on the cover, I'd be intrigued to pick it up. So not just an album. Great piece of fantasy, you know, spooky, little Latin tinged, you know, old West type of image. Great. And very matching the album, I will say.
Oh, definitely. And then every time they do an album, they do this. They have whatever that image they're using for it. And in the upper left corner, they always have their namesake, Ghoul Town. And it's always stylized different. What's cool about this one, the stylization, their name is done in like a wood. So it looks like someone made a signpost that you're getting ready to hang outside of a shop of some kind during that time period. So it kind of fits for that too. It just feels, the whole thing feels like what you're trying to go for.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to throw that out. And before we jump into, for those that don't know about, we talked about last time, the singer Lyle Blackburn, he goes by Count Lyle, is a cryptozoologist who has written a book about the skunk monster, I think it is, from somewhere in one of the swamps in Texas. He's actually written a book about this. So he actually is an accomplished author. So he does other things other than just being in a band.
Yes. I think I mentioned that I need to track that book down. Then I will reiterate it now. I don't know exactly what the release date for this was, but it came out in 2008. It is their fourth album overall. What label was it on? I don't see the label, so I'm not sure.
It was on Angry Planet. I'm actually looking at the CD case right now.
Okay. It actually looks like it came out in a bunch of different ways. So Angry Planet, cool, Devil's Brew, Soviet Records.
Soviet Records, 2008.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, depending on where you were in the world, multiple different distributors, not uncommon. And it looks like some of these might even be reissues. The band, Count Lyle, vocals, guitar, Jake Middlefinger, also on guitar, Lizard Losario, an acoustic guitar and backing vocals, Santi on bass and backing vocals, Dalton Black on drums, and Randy Graham or Grimm, depending on which spelling you see, on trumpet.
So everything about this album, I'm just going to say, is pretty badass. So before we start off, let's just get that in the open. If you've never heard this band before, you're really doing yourself a disservice. There are people that don't like this band, and I get that, and there's reasons for it. Overall, though, most people that listen to it, even if it's not their favorite band, will still say, you know what, that's actually kind of cool, and it's different, and I like it because of that. That's where most people sit. So before you go in to listen to this, after you listen to us, or maybe you take a pause while we're listening to this tonight, you want to go listen to some tracks, keep in mind, yes, it's not for everyone. But dear God, everyone I've like ever listened to this band, there's at least one or two songs like, hey, that was actually kind of catchy and badass. So regardless of your personal feelings, whether you like them or hate them, just understand that this is one of those bands you could actually have people in the middle. And I've met a lot of people who are in the middle where it's like, oh, I don't really hate them, but I don't like them. You know, it's a lot of bands you have either a love-hate relationship with. This is one that it's really in the middle with a lot of people. I personally am on the, I fucking love this band, but I know not everyone does. The cool thing about this, though, is the fact that they do so many songs based off of horror movies, and they take the concept of said horror movie and they change things around just enough to where they're paying homage to it, but it's like they're making their own version, if you will. And when we get down to the title tracks, we'll talk about that. Did you give the runtime yet?
I did not, but it's 50 more minutes and something, I think. I actually have to
40, I think it's 43 minutes, 25 seconds. I believe that's the runtime.
Let me double check that. Yeah, 43:25.
Okay. Yeah. So the cool thing about this is that this, because it's their fourth album, they were already kind of sort of established by the time this album came out. People like In the Know kind of sort of knew about them. The last album we did, Give Them More Rope, was the first time I ever heard them. And I'd heard them on Last FM Radio, and I had heard them on Rumorg Radio. And both of those times were, again, me in high school, like trying to find music and going, hey, I'm the Misfits. What is this? Hey, this is a cool band. Oh, this is a cool band too. And that's when they came up. And then the first song I ever heard from them, I was fucking in love with, because I'm just like, this is different. It's got a sinister edge to it, but it's different, and I like it. So keep in mind, there's that always that's, even with some of the wackiness they do, even though they take things tongue-in-cheek sometimes, there's still that sinister edge where you can tell, okay, this band's actually being serious about this. They actually enjoy doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this is... They are in... I was about to say they're in on the joke, but I don't consider it a joke. But they are in on the silliness. Like, they do take this seriously, but they don't take it... They don't take it dancing seriously. Let me put it... They take it Peter Steele seriously. Meaning that they can see that the silliness and enjoy it for what it is, even though they are serious in the craft. And I will admit right here and now that I am an easy mark for this stuff. I like all the influences that are going into it. I like a little bit of, you know, a country tinge sound with a little bit of metal and a little bit of punk. I mean, it just speaks to all the things that I'm a fan of. With that said, you know, these dudes actually are very good musicians on top of it. These are well played. The compositions are very nice and fitting. This is one of those times where having the double guitar attack and layering in some acoustic guitar on top of the electric guitars works very well. The bass playing is competent. It's not super flashy, but it's there and it adds to it. And I like the variety in the lyrics and the composition, because although the lyrics all share similar themes, they do not, they are not carbon copies of each other.
Exactly. You're not listening to the same song over and over again, just with like different paces. And every time they put an album out, it's always like this.
Yeah.
And so much of the fact so that when they freely admit if they're doing a cover or if they're doing, if they take inspiration, because there's two songs on here they took inspiration from, and they actually give like mad props to it. They'll tell you, and they're not going to shy away from it. Like, hey, yeah, we got this idea from this. And from there, here's how we came up with this idea. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, this is one of these bands that I'm going to tell you they're fun. They're so fun to go to a show. Ben, okay. If they ever come around here, you need to come down and see them with me.
No, dude, I would. Yeah, just let me know.
Fun. They're so fucking fun. Like, I cannot stress to you. Fuck, they'll sit there like not always, but they'll sit there sometimes and like take a break and come out and like pour drinks to people in the fucking audience and have a drink with them while they're taking a break before they go back to playing. How fucking cool is that?
That's very cool.
Like
that reminds me of one of my favorite concert experiences, which was seeing Hank 3 live, and he was similar to that.
Exactly. So I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did. Another thing to think about is if you know who Hank the Third is, and you've ever heard his music, where he'll do some like older country, some more outlaw country, then all of a sudden he'll like stop what he's doing and go into like this really really heavy like metal or like very punk song. And then go back to his country. So I've seen that before where he's done that. But he does that, and he engages with his crowd, and he goes out there, and it's essentially like, hey, I'm like the rest of you. I happen to make it to be popular. We're going to have a drink. We're all going to have a good time. And then I'll go back to entertaining you. That's honestly what this band is kind of like.
Yeah.
So I would encourage all of you out there, if you, after tonight, if you listen to this and or listen to their music or both, whatever, and you like them at all, if they are near you and you're able to go see them, dude, go see them. They're fun. It's a good time.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it's a rollicking good time, the album as well.
Last week we talked about how you could tell the three-piece band of Tiger Army really enjoyed making music. That is what this band feels like. It you can tell they enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
They always give out 110% when they're playing. You like they and the thing is, to your point, you know, you mentioned that everyone's kind of in on the joke. They don't take themselves seriously. Like they will they've made fun of themselves on stage. Like one of the songs on here is probably their most famous song, and they make fun of it because they're flat out like, we don't know why this got big. We didn't think it was that good, but apparently everyone thinks it's like the best song in the world, so we keep playing it. So be, and when we get there, we'll talk about it. But because like that's what kind of helped push this album is that one song. And if you already you can probably already figure out what we're going to talk about because if you type in Ghoul Town into YouTube, it's like the first song that pops up. There's like over like 3 million views on it already. So like that's it's crazy how like one song kind of propelled them up. But it's just cool seeing them go from like this almost unknown underground band in like the late 90s, early 2000s to now people that are into this kind of music know who they are. So it's kind of like
Yeah.
a feeling of, hey, I was there when they did that. That's kind of makes me feel kind of cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and getting into some of the aspects of what they sound like. You know, I can kind of see why some people would be middle of the road because even though I'm not, because it is such a niche group of influences. You know, and I can name several other artists who aren't necessarily cowpunk who are doing similar things. Cody James comes to mind. Even Texas Hippie Coalition a little bit, although they're not nearly as like horror movie influenced. And Hank 3, obviously, and Hank 4 for that matter. Now I'm just bloviating. But because of that interesting conglomerate of mixes of influences, and the fact that the singer sounds a little bit like James Hetfield, like if you isolated the vocal tracks and isolated some Metallica vocal tracks around the Black Album and played them, it's pretty freaking similar, and I can see that some people may not be into that. It doesn't bother me, but I see where some people may not be into that.
He actually kind of looks like James Hetfield a little bit
A
too.
little bit, yeah.
He's got the
That
same kind of mustache that James had in the 90s.
yep.
So as far as production goes on here, I'm going to repeat what I said last week. The production's on fucking point. Everyone knows what they're doing. You can tell they practice. You can tell that they're by this point they're all accomplished musicians. They are really awesome. Again, we see them live. I've never heard them have any kind of issues where they kind of miss, like, oh, I missed a note. Shit. You don't really hear that. What they do a little bit differently, though, is when they take some songs, they take some time to slow them down every now and then. And sometimes slowing them down, changing the pace can be a bad thing. This is one of those bands that when they do it, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing because it makes it fit for the theme that they're going for. And that comes out in their production because this is a very well produced album. Even some of the ones that are kind of like I might be on the fence about track wise on this album are still fun to listen to because of how well they're composed and how well they're performed. And when they were going through the mixing, they were like, yes, we need to turn this up. Let's turn this down. The bass needs to be up here. We need less guitar here. We need more acoustic here. Let's raise your voice a little bit. Okay, let's raise it down. Everything's on point. Like it was mixed very well.
It is, and to that point about, I mean, that adds to pace, and I've talked about pace on previous albums that we've reviewed, and what I mean by that is not just like in sequencing. You want an album that is going to be a pleasurable listening experience, and for some stuff, or at least get a maybe not pleasurable, but it's going to get across a listening experience that you want. And for some bands, that's going 175 miles an hour the entire time, all the way through. These guys give you like a good horror movie or a suspense story, give you peaks and valleys that kind of take you on a journey that bring you up and down. So it paces it for the length so that, again, you're not getting that. That's why there's such variation and why that's so important is it's in some ways, how many tracks are on this? 12 tracks. And they are 12 individual stories that are being told around the campfire, and they have different pacing, and that works really well. Now you take another artist like King Diamond, where he might have 12 tracks on his album, but that is one story that he's telling, so the pacing is going to be completely different than 12 individual stories.
So I'm glad that you mentioned the story thing. The other thing I usually mention to people about this is, because of the theme they're going with kind of a Wild West theme, it does feel like you're hearing a story from somebody. And there's one particular track on here, again, we'll get to it in a minute, where it's obvious, like blatantly obvious, that's what they're doing. But even everything else in here, it sounds like you're hearing someone tell you a story of what just happened to them. Only instead of happening in real life, it's like happened in this like alternate universe where all these supernatural things exist. And I did this thing. Maybe it's a cautionary tale. Maybe it's just me telling you this because I want to be a dick. Who knows? But every song is different because of that. And I like that. This is when the pacing doesn't bother me. Pacing is important to me on an album. Unless it's something like this where it's like, hey, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to be like everyone else on this. Whereas if I were to listen to, say, like a Circle Jerks album, for example, I don't expect a slow song on there. And I would be very upset if they had that because I'm like, this is not what I wanted to hear. It's the fucking Circle Jerks. Seems to be like angry and aggressive for like the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, if I heard, I don't know, UB40, for example, if people know who that is, you know, all of a sudden they go from reggae to like some weird like techno trap music, I would be like highly annoyed. Like, what the fuck is this? This is what I was expecting. Where a band like this, where you may not know what to expect, or maybe you know what to expect, and they get to that point where it's like, oh, well, this is different. This is not what they were doing last time. Well, this is kind of neat. And the fact that they throw humor in a lot, there's a lot of, like the last album we talked about, there was a very obvious, like a bunch of adult jokes that they made into a song, and it worked. That's kind of what they do, is they take the element of, we're going to go a little bit more than just being a punk band, and we're going to kind of throw some clever lyrics in and see if you catch on. If you do, wink, wink, haha. If not, then hey, well, at least you enjoy the music. And they do that sometimes too. So the fact that they can do all these things kind of makes them like a medley band in a way, a medley of punk.
Yeah.
Punk-y, yeah. Not... If you will.
And to that point, to the humor, it is not over the top humor either. It's not parody. Which I think is important, because, like, you know, when I was younger, I loved the hell out of Weird Al Yankovic, and as I've grown older, I still enjoy the satire and the craft of doing really good parody, but I don't like listen to it because it's novelty. These don't default to novelty, in my opinion. There is humor there. They're being intentional, and it is good, but it's all part of the story, and it's part of, again, like, you know, a group of friends sitting around a campfire at a bar or something, and they're telling stories and, you know, trying to be entertaining. It's the classic bard thing, right, from D&D.
Exactly. Only this time the bard is a dirge singer.
Yeah.
But that's that. Hopefully we gave you people an idea of, like, if you didn't listen to the last one, hopefully you kind of get an idea of where this we're coming from with this, because I cannot stress enough how good of a band this is. Even what I will say is the one takeaway, if you listen to this and go, okay, this music isn't for me, you should at least be able to go, you know what, though? I get why you like them. And I can agree that this is actually a very good band musically. And if they chose to do something other than horror punk, I think they'd be good at it.
Yeah.
But they chose to do horror punk, and that's what we're talking them on our podcast here. So, Ben, you got anything else you want to say production-wise or technical-wise before we get started?
Can't say that I do.
So I've listened to this album quite a bit. I think Ben, this when we did Give Him More Rope, I think it was the first time you ever heard this band, correct?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I don't remember.
Okay.
I haven't listened to him a lot other than that.
Okay, so this is Just argument's sake, and make it easier, let's say this would be what, your second, third time hearing this band then?
It is my second full album that I've listened to.
Okay, cool. All right. I like to get that in before we just jump in.
Yeah.
Give me some of your thoughts then. Let's start there. If you want to go on the track
Okay.
listing, and I'll follow you after that.
I mean, I'm going to be kind of boring because I honestly like them. So thanks for coming, folks.
There we go. A
I
plus, guys. All right. See you next week.
don't know that I'll go that far, but yeah, dude. I mean, like, there's just so much cool stuff here. I love the concept of Werewolf on Wheels, which is like just your stereotypical biker song, but it's about werewolves. Dead Outlaw is awesome. I love the inflection that they gave London Dungeon, which is one of my favorite Misfit songs, and I love what they did with that. I Spit on Your Grave, which again is an allusion to a 70s exploitation horror movie. But it's really cool. Find a Good Horse, that's great. Thunder Over El Paso. I mean, I could just say something cool about each one of these tracks. They're just cool and they're different, but it just really flows together well. I mean, when they are re and we've talked about this before with covers specifically. It's are you in the camp of you need to do covers bone straight, or do you reimagine them? And I am always lean towards more doing them bone straight, because a lot of times when people reimagine them, they fuck them up. But they, meaning Ghoul Town, did not do that. Like I said, I love the slowing down and adding in mariachi elements and other stuff that they did with London Dungeon.
So that was another thing I wanted to bring up too. When we get down there, London Dungeon, I wanted to bring up because of the fact they covered a Misfits song. And while we're not doing anything in Misfits or Glenn Danzig this year, I was not about to let the month go away without having some kind of Glenn song. So when I found out, when I remembered hearing it, I remember it was on this album, I'm like, hey, we got to do this. Got to have at least mentioned the fact that this is a Misfits track on here. I will reiterate what you said about that one before I go back to the top. It's slowed down, and some people may not like that. And the original London Dungeon recording, it's hard to explain this to someone that was born after it came out, because when it came out, there was almost like a creepy feeling to it in the background. Like there was that, the way that the guitar was going, it was very crunchy and it was very played out, and it felt like they had this almost doom building up to it. This one didn't have it. It actually slowed it down more, and because it gave it a mariachi feel, it felt like a band in Texas that just heard a song and covered it. And I like what they did to it. It's almost like they made their own thing. The first time I heard it, I wasn't sure, and it took me a couple times to listen to it before I was like, you know what? No, this is actually pretty cool. I'm kind of glad they did this. I'm glad they changed it up a little bit. They made it their song while still saying it's not our song. And I appreciate when a band can do that. So going back to the top, to me, the best songs on here are Dead Outlaw, Against a Crooked Sky. I Spit on Your Grave. Find a Good Horse is just funny. It's a fun song, man. It's very gets in and out. I'm going to skip the next one because I want to talk about that a little bit longer. London Dungeon, of course, it was cool. Train to Nowhere wasn't bad. Under the Phantom Moon is probably my second favorite song on here, because of just how it almost feels. It almost I want to say it's a doom metal song, but it's not, because it's going too fast. But there's a lot of double bass on that, the double bass drum, and it's very heart pounding, and I like it. I like that it you can almost feel the song rather than just hear it. And the funny thing is, that's based on a poem. There was a poem that was written, I want to say it was like 1890s is when it was written. But the poem, man, is just it's I think Omar, oh, the guy's first name was Omar. I can't remember what his last name was. But it's the fact they took a poem and made a whole ass song about it. Like, that kind of explains how good they are as musicians. While Werewolves on Wheels and A Spit in Your Grave are both 70s exploitation movies. The fact that they took the basic premise of these films and made them to where they experienced it rather than the characters experienced it is what I enjoyed. Because I'm sitting here listening to this going, that's not the synopsis. Like, it's the basic synopsis, yeah, but this isn't what actually happens. I'm kind of glad they took this idea and ran with it, though, because now it's like, hey, I heard this story happen, but I'm going to interject myself doing it. And going back to what Ben said about sitting around a campfire, it feels very much like, hey, I took it, I'm expanding upon it, and I'm extrapolating a lot of things that may or may not have happened, but you weren't there, so you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like if you've never seen those films and you listen to these songs, okay, well, that's kind of what happens. There you go. This is essentially what occurs with all the other details. So it's like I just got the plot of the movie without having to watch the movie. And it was badass time while I was doing it. So that's where I'm at. Pretty much every track on here is awesome. Even the very beginning. The outro, while it's not a while it's not a instrumental, it almost kind of is because it's mostly instrumental. There's a few lyrics to it, but it gives you that feeling of it's a good way to end the album. It's like, all right, I heard all these stories from this guy that I just met in an alleyway, and going back to what I said about the artwork, you heard all these stories, and he lights up a fucking cigar, and you see his face, and then you realize everything he just told you is like legit, and you're about to have either a bad day or a very awesome day, and that's the way it always felt like to me. It's like, okay, cool, this ends, and now everything we just heard from this guy is like, oh, this is happening now, this is real. So that's why I always enjoyed it. I'm going to go back and talk about I would normally say the elephant in the room, but because of what we're talking about, I'm going to say the horse in the room. Let's talk about Drink with the Living Dead for a minute. I think when I first mentioned this band, I think that was the first song you looked up, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I almost feel like you said you looked that up. I'm bringing this up for a reason. One, this is the longest song on here. It's like 6 minutes and 11 seconds long. This is the one I was talking about that got them very popular all of a sudden. And whenever they do it live, they always bring it up. We don't know why this song got popular, but it did. The video probably helped out with that. The video doesn't actually show them, like it shows them as drawings, but it doesn't show the band playing, and it feels like you're watching an 1890s vignette, is what it feels like. Also, the other thing is this is the one that it really does feel like someone's telling you a story. There's a cautionary tale into it. There's a lot of Old West mythos into it that also gets thrown into the fact that this dude's just trying to have a drink, and he's talking about liking drinking, and you can tell like, oh, this is a party band. Okay. This is probably even with all that said, I really like this song. This is one that kind of caught me when this album came out. I remember going, wow, that's really good. And I haven't really been into one of their songs until Give 'Em a Rope was around, because Return of the Living Dead is one of my favorite songs. And I'm like, oh, they have this now. Holy shit, this feels like an Old West thing. You have undead gunfighters, you have drinking, you have references to drinking the worm, which is tequila. You have a lot of references in here that are a stereotype Western that fits into a whole 6 minute song. The way it is done is amazing. The way it changes tempo is amazing because it starts off slow, then it speeds up, then it slows down again. Then all of a sudden, there's a mariachi band playing and they have a fiddle player come in, and it just everything meshes well. I think probably this is the one song on this album that if we're going to talk about being overly complex, I feel like this is it.
I can see that argument. To me, it is, and this might be blasphemy to some people, but it's their Bohemian Rhapsody.
It's
So,
there how the gods kill.
well, that too. So it is a mega song that has a lot going on, but I don't know if this was the first song I heard of theirs or not. I honestly don't remember. It's been so long now. I know that the first time I heard Ghoul Town was I was listening to a dark country or dark alt country playlist on YouTube that somebody had made, and there was a Go Town song on there. It might have been this one. I don't remember if it was or not. With that said, it's just, this is a lot of parts. This is, you know, I can honestly see why this song became so popular, because this is Ghoul Town in a song. It is what they're trying to do. And in a lot of ways, it is their magnum opus. It is their mission statement, even if it is in some ways three times as long as some of their other tracks.
No, I think it's a very good way to sum it up. It's, and I've told people before, like, it's, I used to give people the song Wicked Man and Return of the Living Dead as like, hey, you want to know what this band is like? Listen to this. Ever since this album came out, when someone asked me what they're like, I'm like, look, just look that video up, just listen to it. That's Ghoul Town. That's, if you like it, you're gonna like everything else they do, even if you're not as into it as everything else. You're going to like them. If you don't like it, just don't bother listening to them, because you're not going to really be into it. Yeah. So I think that's a very apt description of, if you could pick one song and say this is what they're like, I think this is it, and I would agree with that.
Sure. Yeah, I can. I can't. I mean, it'd be, since I said it, it'd be hard for me to argue against it. But I agree. I agree sure, with sure, all the yeah. points you just made.
And I think that's something I would hope that people listen to. If you do listen to it, you might have to listen to it more than once, and just, again, listen to everything going on, because it goes from very slow to very fast to, it almost doesn't sound like a punk song sometimes. That's the other thing. Yeah. There's times where it's almost more like just like a very fast-paced country song.
No, they are very genre fluid in that way.
And that's the thing, is like, there's when the violin kicks in, you're like, what? I thought I was listening to a punk album. Apparently we're not now. But it fits, man. It just, everything feels, on that one particular track, it feels like it's almost like it shouldn't fit in here, but because it shouldn't, it does.
Yeah.
And that's the best way I can think to explain it, because everything else on here is very obviously a punk song. And that's what's cool. It's like, again, going back to pacing, all of a sudden you hit this and you're like, wait, what? This is, what just happened? Why did we slow down? Oh, this is actually pretty badass. And then it's funny, because the next one beyond that is London Dungeon, which is really slow, and then they just pick it back up again. So, you know, it's almost like we're taking a break right here and never go back fast again. So I really like the pacing on this album as well because of that. Man, is there anything else you want to mention, Ben, before we move on?
Nope, I am ready to grade this thing.
I'm going to let you go first, because this is, I already know what I'm going to say, and I think people already know what I'm going to say, but I think we're more interested in what you want to hear at this point.
I'm going to give it an A-. I am here for this all the way. You know, I don't think it's perfect. It can be argued that the album was too long, even though I don't necessarily think so. But it is certainly not a perfect album, hence why I did not give it an A or an A+. But it is something that I truly enjoy and would listen to over and over again.
All right. So my two grading system, from a technical aspect, from a musician aspect, just from a music and not from a punk or whatever genre we're talking about aspect, I'm going to give this band a fucking A+, because holy shit, they can play. They can play a lot. They can do different genres, and they do them well. I already said it. I'm going to say it again. They could stop doing hard punk today and become a fucking country western band for all I know, and I bet you they'd still be amazing at it. They could stop doing this shtick and decide to do something more traditional, and they're probably going to be amazing at it. I cannot stress to you how good of a band this is from that perspective. Now, from the punk, horror punk, etc., what we're talking about, I'm gonna give it a solid A. I teeter on A- with this, but the A just comes from the fact that it's not perfect in the sense that there are some things I might change, but those are enough to say, dude, this is still a very well put together album. So much so that right after Give 'Em All Rope, this is probably my second favorite album from them, to this day. everything else they put out so good, but this one just it fit. Everything felt like it was supposed to be there. It felt right. Yes, I'm just going to go ahead and preemptively say it. If you like this band at all, go out and buy this album.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I think you already touched on it, but I'm gonna ask you again. If we're going back to the period of the late 80s, early 90s, and you couldn't get digital music and test something, and you saw this album sitting in a store, would you buy it?
Yep, I would.
Yep,
I would buy the album if it was on a role playing supplement. I would buy the supplement. If it was just a poster, I might even would buy the poster.
I would too. I think if one final thought before we move on, if you like this like artwork and you see it, check out their other album artwork because all of it's pretty badass, man. The name escapes me and who the artist is, but I think they use the same artist ever since the third album. They've used the same artist because it looks very similar. So I would tell you go get it. I would tell you go out and get it, look it up, look up the album artwork. It's just this is one of those bands, and I'll tell you, they're kind of standing the test of time because they came out in 1998. So they're still out there putting out albums, and they're so relative, and there's a lot of bands that I like that didn't make it this long. So
yeah,
that's something to say too, so keep that in mind.
That is very fair.
Also, they made it into a video game. Mm-hmm. A little bit of trivia there. For anyone that remembers the game Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, there's a bunch of posters over LA that you can find that's Bella Morte's on there, Mr. Monster's on there, Ghoul Town's on there. So, I mean, people that made that game were fans too.
They made it into another video game.
Please enlighten us.
They have tracks on Blood West, which is available on Steam. It is a first person shooter game, a stealth shooter, based in the Weird West. So, which is the old West with monsters.
I suddenly have a feeling, a need to play Werewolf the Wild West now, because that's the other thing. That, like, every time I see this band, I'm always like, I want to get one of my revolvers out and just like spin it a couple times. Like, I kind of want to play Werewolf the Wild West and Dead West and all these other like Dark West games. I want to play these so bad. So good background music for those games.
Yes, 100%.
Well, with that said, I think next week it will be the last Friday before Halloween. So we have to do something good and Halloween related. And we have done two genres so far that still fit the holiday, but are not quite traditional horror punk in the sense. So, Ben, I think we should go back and do something not truly traditional, but more in the vein of what the Misfits started. What do you think?
I'll get my suit and tie ready.
Sounds good to me. Well, next week we're going to be talking about a band that I've always enjoyed. They haven't got the best success, but we'll talk about that when we get there. So yeah, next week, Mr. Ben and Mr. Buzz will be talking to you, and there's the teaser for you.
Yep. Until then,
good night. If you find a good horse, ride it.
So.